guys. This is the 40th episode of the Low Carb Universe show. Hello, Hannah.
Hi, Bitte.
Hi, this is cool. 40.
This is cool, yes. This is a very nice and even number. I like it.
I like it as well. It's like a jubilee or something. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We are celebrating this occasion with a very special theme today. We are talking about the environment.
Yeah.
And as arranging international events, how this could affect the environment when it comes to people flying in from all over the world and what we do kind of to compensate for all this.
Yeah, and also what our thoughts are about how to be environmentally friendly and what we can maybe do and... Yeah, that every one of us can do, just not just you and me, Bitte, but also the ones listening. And I'm just going to throw this out right in the beginning of this pod for once. If you have, what are your best tips for being environmentally a little bit more friendly?
Yeah.
Please leave a comment and we are excited to be inspired by you.
Exactly. We love to get inspired by our listeners.
We do.
If we look at what I said, we're international. We've got guests and speakers from all over the world coming to our events. And they have to fly.
Most of the times, yes.
Yes. Flying isn't that politically correct nowadays?
No, apparently not, which is kind of, I mean, when you don't have an option.
No.
We can't all fit in a rowing boat from Barcelona, where we took the train. It won't work.
No, it would, but not today because we haven't got the time to in these days. So it's, since we are working with health and helping people, I could see a certain gain that we can gain something with those despite those travels flights because we want to spread awareness and knowledge about how people can get more well and feel better and maybe skip medication and that way use less plastic cans. I don't know.
That is, of course, our ultimate goal is to help people get healthier. Yeah. And to spread awareness about how to do it.
Yeah.
And it's a very good point. I think we do actually, well, probably don't compensate all of the flights that we have ever taken in our lives, but I think we are making a ripple sort of on the surface somewhere.
Yeah. I do hope so, because it's always a way balancing bad and good.
Yes, absolutely.
The place we have chosen for our events so far. Yeah. Then we have some thoughts about that as well and some intentions with choosing this place.
We do, because, for example, they only use ecological and organic, for example, beauty products and body products, also in the spa, but also in the rooms. So none of this microplastic stuff is being washed out to the ocean from this hotel, which I think is really cool. And also, of course, the food that we are served and that we have ordered, it's all locally produced.
Yes.
As big of a capacity as possible, it is also organic and stuff like that. So it's nothing that's been flown in from forever. And so we do try to sort of choose the places that have this extra environmental awareness, I think.
Yeah, that is so true.
We also, of course, don't print any unnecessary papers. Everything is electronic. We don't have paper tickets. Everything is working electronically. We don't print our program, for example. You can only find that on our website.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So we're really trying to do our little bit.
Yes. Everything we do when it comes to our... events and planning and work is actually electronic because we don't send out any letters or we don't advertise in newspapers. We only advertise in internet and online. So of course that must be a huge impact.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very true. And we don't have handouts really, apart from if, you know, a speaker wants it for their workshop. But apart from that, we have no handouts. We don't make any flyers. We did it once and never again.
Never again. That's so totally unnecessary.
Yeah, the only thing we actually have printed on paper for our company, apart from the sort of signing of we have now started this company, it is our business cards. That's it. But even that could be, we wouldn't have to technically. It'd be easier to actually have a fact that you just send to people technically in your phone.
And actually, when you mention it, we might should be doing that right now, because I remember when people started this, that wasn't too big, but it must be more common nowadays to just let my phone kiss your phone, and we share some.
There must be sort of a contact app where you sort of make a QR code or something that the other person scans their phone. And then, kissing. I like it.
Kissing cell phones. Yeah. We will have a look at that. I promise you. Yeah.
We've saved the world, Bitte. We've saved the world.
we do.
Yeah, but I know myself, like as soon as you go to a conference or whatever and you just... It just piles on with these business cards, and you're like, "Well, what am I going to do with all of these?"
Yeah,
you know, you save the information or you throw it away. Like that's the only thing you do.
Yeah,
you can't really, you know, otherwise they just sit there.
Huh. No, there's so much things you can do, and we have to say that if you don't have a smartphone or a computer brought to the hotel with you, there are. Computers IMAX. IMAXs in the lounge, so you can go there any time of day and take a look at the agenda, and you can always ask the staff as well in the reception, so there's not a chance that you will miss anything because of us not printing any papers. So,
no, and you can choose to print it yourself, that's fine,
that you can do,
but we're not going to be the ones who do it for everyone at the event, because that is several papers and pages that we can save the environment.
Yeah. So that is what we do when it comes to our events.
I'm sure we do more, but we just don't connect it with being environmentally friendly.
No. But it might be that it is so normal to us that we don't reflect. Or something. So, but personally then, Hannah?
Well, we have, of course, I try to make a huge effort because a lot of the things that are equally environmentally unfriendly are also, of course, or they have ties to messing with our bodies and our DNA and our hormones and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I really do take care that I use as natural body and beauty products as possible, even in my private life, not only at the events, but also at home, because I feel that that is something good that I can do for both myself and the environment.
Yeah, so the same for me, because I started to think of my skin as the... It just popped up into my mind a few years ago that that's the largest organ we have in our bodies. And it's the skin.
Everything.
Yes, and I just quit to using lotion and everything, and it was I might do it sometimes, but not even once a month, because I think also the kind of diet with the food I'm eating that I get like moisturized from the inside.
Yeah, no, true. And that is also a benefit of eating low carb or keto.
Yeah, exactly.
People with really dry skin actually. Don't have to make so much of an effort anymore.
Because I was dusty earlier, you know, where you're so dry that you slap your thigh or something and poof, there comes a cloud of... But that was many years ago. It's quite different nowadays. And exactly as you do, I think a lot about my makeup, but I'm not still there, as I mentioned in an earlier... We can link to our earlier... clean vanity underneath, because I am a sucker when it comes to foundation, as I said. But the thing is, I don't use it daily nowadays. I actually use it less.
Yeah.
So I'm going in the right direction.
Yeah, I think we all are. And I don't think you can't. I don't think you can't go in the right direction, because the awareness is now getting bigger and bigger. And it's only basically the American administration that doesn't believe in this.
Yes. Yeah, sort of. In Sweden, we have the best water ever coming from the, what's the name, a kran?
The tap. It does not compare to the alpine water.
No. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Tap water is very good.
Yeah, but it's very good in Sweden. We and people that bring home bottles of water in Sweden, that's kind of crazy. But here in Majorca, the water isn't that nice. And it's...
You can drink, but you might not want to, because it's not that well tasting.
No, it's not. And often it can be treated when you live in a big house or something, that they have something they call a decalcifier or something.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of calcium in this water, and it makes it a bit different. It takes away actually some of the nutritious things as well. But so we buy water here in bottles, and I feel like I wouldn't like to do that actually. But I drink quite a lot of water, and now you have to do, you buy like a 6-pack of 2 liters of water a few times a week. So a lot of plastic and...
But you also have to do what you can. And certain things is not yet convenient enough and possible to swap. Of course, you can have your own filter system for your apartment and everything, so you can get drinking water and then fill up your steel bottle and, you know, drink from that the whole time. That is very possible and you can do it. But in certain situations, it's just maybe not possible all the time to be 100%, you know, eco-friendly and happy hippie sort of thing.
happy hippie. No, but you do what you can do. And, you know, there's so much research going on and innovations that could make your daily life both more environmental friendly and even easier. So I am very adaptive when it comes to smart solutions. So I'm just longing to see all the things that could be on the market. They're coming to the market, like the metallic, the steel water bottles that as you mentioned. Yeah, and for example, when it comes to the way we eat, I eat a lot of protein nowadays, and especially red meat. They say we learned that that is not good for the environment, but there are things you could do.
It also depends on where the meat is coming from, of course.
Exactly, that's what I meant,
If it is grass-fed and, you know, it's had a happy life on the field and, you know, eaten what it's supposed to in comparison to factory farming, where, you know, they get fed corn and grains and kept out of daylight and just never moving and everything, of course they're going to produce a lot of methane gas and fart much. Because they don't get what they're supposed to have.
Yeah.
And this is my problem with, okay, now we're going into a completely different podcast episode again. But just quickly, I'm going to mention that my problem with veganism, because they only eat the crop grown on fields where actually it would have been better for the soil and for the environment if the cows were just grazing. Okay, done.
To produce food for the vegans, you need animals that poo a lot.
Yes.
That you can So I think anyone is actually purely vegan. I think it's impossible, because there are animals included in the production of sort of like everything.
And that was the, I don't know if you saw that picture, but it was in some TV show and they had a picture of an avocado and a broccoli and two other plants. And they were like, which ones of these are truly vegan?
Yes.
And the answer was actually that none of them were, because they all used bees that weren't local to the product or to the growing site. They had to be flown in or transported in to pollinate these vegetables. So, and that just destroys the whole argument for me as well.
Yeah, and when it comes to the environmental aspect of the vegan diet, is that like in Sweden, we can't grow vegetables all year round. And if you do it in winter, you need to do it in like those
greenhouses,
and they need to be heated, you know, and where does the energy come from to do that? Mm. And also that we have to import from other countries. So how environmental friendly is that? Since I eat a lot of protein, when it comes to fish, I always want wild caught fish.
Yes, of course.
Because, you know, it's the same. They have fishes in small ponds and where they just feed them with a lot of stupid things that doesn't do me any good or doesn't do them any good. Mm. And we also have this special mark, MSC.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very hard in Sweden to find fish that is good for yourself and also for the fish and for the environment. So it doesn't happen that often that I eat fish actually at home. I try to do it once or twice a week. But here in Majorca, it's quite different since we got the ocean.
Yeah,
and
you can also buy the fish straight from the fishermen at the market, sort of thing, which I'm sure you can in areas of Sweden too, but I don't know, like it doesn't feel as authentic. It feels more like it comes straight from the boat in Majorca in comparison
And like when my father, he lives in the south of Sweden, near, very close to a small harbor, and they can go down and buy from the fishermen.
Exactly.
So, and they are very thorough when it comes to which fishes and which everything. So they would never buy a deep frozen cod in the store. They are spoiled in that way. Lucky bastards. When I buy meat, I very seldom buy anything else than Swedish meat, because we have very, very strong animal rules in Sweden. I can't say that every pig or all hen are happy in Sweden, but I think they are at least happier than in many other countries. And we have a very low use of antibiotics. Yeah. And now, since I'm in Majorca, I discovered this is so super cool, because Spain is one of the countries in Europe that uses most antibiotics for cattle and pigs and so. But I found yesterday a ham that it said non-antibiotic.
Yeah, I know. So, there's quite a lot of it actually in the supermarkets there.
Yeah, and that is so, I get so happy when I see it, because that shows that there's a demand from us customers and there's an awareness. Yes.
Very true. And I learned something actually, I don't remember who taught me this. Anyway, but if you find Irish beef, it is almost by default always grass-fed. I don't know if this is correct, but this is something that I've heard at least. And so if you buy Irish beef, because they have different rules and regulations, it has to be grass-fed. And that is, of course, it's a good sort of direction to go, I guess.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to Swedish meat as well, because in Sweden, there is no, I can't see the gain of keeping your cattle inside all year round, because if you let them out during summertime, they find their food themselves.
But of course, Sweden also has factory farming.
Of course. But if you take those smaller brands, and they are more expensive, but then in another, you get more out of it anyhow, because it tastes so much better.
The thing is, I think, with Sweden is that you can actually trust the organic stamp. So if you see that a meat is organic, it will actually be organic instead of, you know, a fake organic.
Yeah,
once when they were 3 months old, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, but I think there are different certificates, and they are. I've read about someone lost just a couple of weeks ago, and the article said that people could like breeders could like buy this certificate.
Oh.
So I don't know. We're not good at everything.
I think a lot of countries are really trying, and there's a lot of regulations in many countries, maybe not as much. Well, I also think in Denmark it's getting better and better, but traditionally it's been terrible in Denmark, for example.
Yes.
I think more and more countries are adhering to more and more organic rules and regulations and all this, at least in Europe. Fine, the US and stuff, where they don't believe in it anyway, it doesn't really matter for them, well, to the administration, clearly, but
no.
I don't think in Europe they're actually that fakey anymore.
No,
they have been.
No, but as we said just a couple of minutes ago, the awareness that people are so aware nowadays, and they put demands, they high demands on the suppliers.
Exactly.
If the cow has a happy life, I think it's good for the environment and it's good for your own health. When you eat the cow.
And also when I buy vegetables, I try to buy as much organic as well. I know that this is not a problem for you right now, Bitte, but I really try. And I try to go by the sort of clean 15 lists that come out every once in a while and stuff like that. And fine, it gets more expensive, but also the flavor is better. And I think at least, and I hope that the impact on both me and the environment is more kind.
Yes, I am convinced that that's the case. And when you mention the cost, the thing is when you eat, as we do, you don't eat crap. You don't buy snacks, you don't buy candies, you don't buy ice cream, you don't buy bread. All in all, I think it's... it gets cheaper.
Yeah, you don't eat as big quantities either because you are eating more nutritionally dense foods. So I think that's another aspect that not many take into account.
Yeah. And I have to tell you that when it comes to cost, because last Monday I went to the store to get my food for the week. And I bought Angus, I bought fresh... pork slices. I don't do bacon anymore because I don't think it's good. I don't like it like that much. And a lot of other stuff and organic chicken and things. And it cost me 25 euros.
Yeah.
And that is like nothing because it gave me like 10 or 12 meals.
Yeah.
And of course, a couple of packages of butter as well.
You always need that.
Yeah, always butter. And I find lard. That was that's happiness.
That was a happy thing.
Yeah. And that is one thing we also can put into this environmental friendly thingy, because I think when eating lard, you eat a piece of the pig that people haven't been eating for long. It's just been thrown away.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there's less waste because it becomes more nose to tail, and because the nutrients are also in other parts of the animal than the muscle meat, of course. But we haven't thought about it really recently because everything has to be low fat and everything has to be high carb and blah, blah, blah. I think there is less waste if you do dare to eat. I'm not good at it, but organ meats and stuff like that. And there is a lot less waste and henceforth a less impact on the environment.
Yeah. And I think that we might have become a bit picky because people used to eat everything earlier and we miss out on a lot of nutrition if we don't eat it. And it's like a shame that we slaughter a big cow and throw away half of it.
Exactly.
And actually, I can think like this: when grown ups say, "I don't like liver," I don't care. You should eat liver. Yeah. If you eat beef and if you eat fillets, you should eat the liver as well. And you can put it into if you have like minced beef and want to make meatballs, put some liver in it. You won't notice it. Yeah. You won't taste it, but you will get the nutrition.
My new favorite is actually grilled marrow bone.
Oh, that is so good.
Oh my God, and especially the one I had in Mallorca last time I was there. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
And that same dish, actually, it was beef tongue and marrow bone and bone marrow. My. I'm like, oh my God, it's so good. It's so good. How do we otherwise then help the environment? I know that I'm a huge environmental thief in one aspect of my life, which is diabetes. Because of all the medical supplies that I use weekly, daily, hourly, minutely, secondly, I do have to throw away a lot of plastic things because that's the way they're built. For example, the tubing for my pump, that is 60 centimeters of pure plastic that goes out every 3 days. All my test strips, my the needles that are in my body the whole time, plasters, you know, there's so much stuff that is just plastic and I can't do anything about it. I have to use it or I die.
Yeah, you can't do it and you are forgiven because this is, you have to do it. You have to use it. But here's an area where innovation is welcomed.
Yes.
Because I think think of all the diabetics all over the world. Yeah. If there were some kind of thing they could change so you don't have to use it, best would be if you could rid of this shitty sickness at all. Yeah. But if you just could change, like for the small test sticks.
Yeah. To make them biodegradable sort of thing.
Yeah, that would be a big impact, I think.
A lot of the companies, though, or at least some of the companies, do have recycling programs. Like, for example, Omnipod, when I was using that one, has a recycle program so you can send back the used one so that they make sort of, they recycle it for you, which is nice. Okay. But it's also, that's really a drop in the ocean because you have so much other stuff that you have to throw away. And as I mentioned, the whole pod, I'm trying my bestest to to compensate for this a little bit. And for example, I try to buy as much organic cotton as I can when I buy clothes.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't make very much organic bling, though, which is the problem.
No, but diamonds are organic. it's a pity, though, that we can't afford to buy as many as we would like. Okay. That's a problem, but that's what we call an Elans problem in Sweden. What do you call Elans problem in English?
First world problem.
Yeah, but we do what we can, and we reuse all our bling.
We do.
We love them to death, so until they tear apart.
Exactly.
So that's why you might see me in the same dress I wore last year. Might. At the gala dinner.
Yes.
Maybe. But who cares? As long as it's blingy, we'll see what's happened. So I bought myself a small carry on wheels to go and buy my food.
Yes.
And that is maybe not first for the environment. It's because I don't have a car yet here in Majorca. But it's so easy to take it and go, and I get some good exercise because the place I'm staying at is at a high up on a hill. So it's good exercise going with that and with all the water, you know, and that as well. And I am now looking maybe to buy a new car. And I was thinking that I actually would like to have a hybrid or, since the island here is very small, I might just do well with the electric car.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, but then you have the problem when they make the batteries to these cars.
Exactly.
Whatever you do, you still have your butt on behind yourself, as we say in Sweden as well. Educate yourself in this area as well as when it comes to health and diet.
Exactly. And they can go hand in hand.
They can.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have anything more important to do in about a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Nothing is more important than coming to Majorca and LCU18.
And try this beautifully organic, locally grown food, for example, and listen how we can solve our problems so that we can get better.
I think that maybe we could have a discussion. We could have a workshop on low carb and environment.
Absolutely. This is where you get the chance to actually buy your ticket, because we don't have that many rooms left with a sea view. So if you want to get one of those, grab it today at lcu18.thelowcarbuniverse.com/book, because you don't want to miss out on that.
You don't want to. And miss out me in my secondhand bling dress.
And me.
Okay. And Hannah as well. Yeah.
Next week, we will be back with another super exciting topic.
Yes, that would be very exciting. If you have any wishes or what we should take up in our podcast, just contact us, write it in a comment. We can talk about anything.
We will.
Okay, that's it. Take care, Hannah. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.